This isn't a safety manual. It's a transmission. Jay Allen, PhD, host of the Rated R Safety Show and founder of Safety FM, has spent years pulling back the curtain on the systems we work in and the ones we don't talk about. What started as a fatal crash on the 405 became a search for truth. Through behavior-based safety, human and organizational performance, simulation theory, and everything in between. Safety, in my opinion, is raw, reflective, and real. From burnout to breakthroughs, from the matrix to the moment someone says, "This doesn't feel right." This book doesn't give you answers. It hands you the signal. Safety, in my opinion. Available now, wherever books and audiobooks are found. In Safety, in my opinion, you woke up. You saw the system, the simulation, the structure that trained you to mistake compliance for care. Safety mutation. Information misdirection picks up where the signal fractured. Because the system didn't shut you down, it rebranded you. It packaged your voice, sold your rebellion as a new initiative, and smiled while doing it. This isn't a manual. It's a decoded transmission about what happens when slogans replace stories, when safety becomes marketing, and when truth gets mirrored so perfectly, you forget it was ever yours. You'll see the mutation. Learning teams turned into theater. Zero harm turned into optics. And feedback turned into formatting. But the signal didn't die. It was redirected. Safety Mutation is book two of the Signal Transmission Trilogy. Available now in print, Kindle, and audiobook. Narrated by the author, Jay Allen, PhD. Because the system adapted. Now it's your move.
This show is brought to you by Safety FM.
I want this to be in the style of a tenor. The heavily here find Daft Punk. I want this to be in the style of tenor. But heavily here's my Daft Punk.
MALSV. It contains strong language, sexual situations, and violence. It is intended only for mature audiences.
Finally, show with the balls and call it like it is. Rated R Safety Show on Safety FM.
Countdown to audio torture.
The Rated R Safety Show starts in 3, 2, 1.
Let the eardrum pain begin.
Forget the corporate bullshit. This is the Rated R Safety Show with your host, Dr. It doesn't matter who the host is.
Oh, you already know that, and so do I. It does not matter who the host is. What has always mattered is who the listeners are. Anyways, we are broadcasting today on this glorious Wednesday, December the 10th of 2025, day 344th of the year, and only 21 days left to go. We are broadcasting here from the Safety FM studios in Orlando, Florida, and coming across the multiverse known as Safety FM, and then hanging out with our friends and colleagues over there.
Radio Big. Streaming 24/7 at RadioBig.fm.
Oh, yes. You know how it goes. We hang out. We talk. We do. We move. We groove. No doubt about that. All of the stuff that comes about inside of the multiverse of ours as we are hanging. So anyways, how's the last 24 hours or so been for you? Hopefully a good time as you've been able to hang out and do some thingos. Yeah, it's do some thingos in regards of everything that is going on inside of the world of the multiverse. That's the way that I kind of look at it. Not sure exactly how you would look at it. Anyways, let's talk about what we do here. We talk about safety in the news, news and safety. That's kind of what our first hour of the show consists of. Hour two and three, we play a little bit of everything that we can discover, get a hold of, and so on. So don't worry about any of that information, because we'll make sure to take care of you over the next couple hours or so as we are doing everything as we are hanging and banging here on this show. So if you want to interact with the show, it's a simple process on doing so. All you have to do is go to callinradio.com. That's callinradio.com. Once you get their audio, video, text messaging are some of the options of the things that will pop up, go around, and all of that fun stuff. So don't worry. We don't worry. We will make sure to take care of you down the multiverse of stuff as we are doing everything there. So, okay. So with that being said, callinradio.com, as we've already located, I have some professional broadcasters that come in and they'll talk a little bit about this, a little bit about that, everything that's going on with some of the major news stories. So you don't have to worry about any of the other cluster of everything that is going on. So there you go. So what do you think? What do you think? Now, seriously. So I am sure that today will be an interesting day in regards because we have, you know, on how our stuff will be powered today. So don't worry about that.
Today's show is being powered by candy canes and hot chocolate, the official diet of December.
Yep. So there you go. Candy canes and hot chocolate. No other way to beat it as we are going about and doing all of our stuff. No doubt about that one. Okay. So you know that it is Christmas season. Montages everywhere. We'll start. Let me go ahead and give you one real quick.
Merry Christmas.
What brings you here?
I mean, there's no mistletoe, you know.
Christmas is the number one day for marriage proposals.
Don't you get tired of Christmas music?
No. I find it inspiring.
Nobody's leaving. Nobody's walking out on this fun old-fashioned family Christmas. No, no, we're all in this together.
You say my friends were asking you about Christmas?
Yeah, they wanted to know if we kids cared about Santa Claus at all. You don't believe in Santa Claus?
Yes, matter of fact, I do.
Okay, so there you go. You know that all those Christmas parties and holiday parties inside of your workplace are taking place over the next little bit, so just trying to get you in the spirit there if you need it. So anyways, with that being said, let's go ahead and bring in our friends from Feature Story News. Let them tell you exactly what the hell's going on inside of this multiverse of ours.
Here is the news on the Rated R Safety Show.
From Feature Story News in Brussels, I'm William Denslow. UK Prime Minister Keir Starmer's facing domestic pressure to stand up to US President Donald Trump on his criticism of Europe. European leaders have pushed back on President Trump's claim they're weak and overseeing a decaying continent. The UK government says it rejects the US president's assertion European countries have achieved no progress on the issue of Ukraine. But leader of the Liberal Democrats, Ed Davey, says Keir Starmer needs to respond more firmly.
I've said for a long time he's an unreliable ally, confirmation that we cannot trust him. The idea that another politician from another country is interfering directly into our politics is unacceptable. And the Prime Minister should say that publicly.
The French Parliament has passed a crucial vote on its 2026 Social Security budget. The government managed to squeeze the proposed legislation through the National Assembly by just 13 votes, meaning the Prime Minister, Sébastien Lecornu, has avoided the possibility of being ousted. For now. Ross Cullen reports from Paris.
France's Prime Minister Sébastien Lecornu will have little time to celebrate this victory as there is the matter of the state budget coming up. That is a separate piece of legislation from the Social Security budget and it's due to be debated next week and opposition lawmakers are hoping to use it as another chance to defeat the government and put more pressure on the Prime Minister. Lecornu would certainly have faced calls to resign from the opposition if the vote had failed, but after the narrow win, he hailed, quote, those who chose the principle of compromise over what he called the cynicism of lawmakers who voted against the Social Security budget proposal for 2026. The government warned that rejecting the Social Security legislation would have added more than $11 billion to the welfare deficit next year. Ross Cullen, Paris.
Hamas says that international mediators must pressure Israel to respect the Gaza ceasefire agreement before the group agrees to move forward into the second phase of the wider peace plan. Blake Sifton reports from Tel Aviv.
Senior Hamas leader Hussam Badran accused Israel of violating the ceasefire agreement by not opening the Rafah crossing with Egypt and fully increasing the amount of aid entering Gaza, and by continuing to carry out deadly strikes. Israeli authorities also accuse Hamas of violating the agreement and say its strikes in Gaza have been in retaliation for attacks against its soldiers. Israeli forces have killed at least 376 Palestinians since the ceasefire began, according to local health officials. Israel has said it is prepared to open the Rafah crossing for Palestinians to leave Gaza, but not to return. Blake Sifton, Tel Aviv.
And India and the European Union are intensifying efforts to clinch a long-pending free trade agreement, with India's commerce minister saying both sides are pushing to close remaining gaps, even as politically sensitive issues such as tariffs and carbon offsets remain unresolved after years of negotiations. From bureaus worldwide, this is FSN.
With FSN Spotlight, I'm Simon Marks. Today, one European politician's plea for the continent to start standing up to President Trump. It comes in the aftermath of the US leader's interview with Politico, in which he dismissed European leaders as weak, insisted their continent is in decay, and suggested Islamic immigrants are overrunning Europe and will lead to its civilizational collapse. He also said Russia has the upper hand in the Ukraine conflict, and that President Volodymyr Zelensky had conned America out of billions of dollars in military assistance. Ed Davey, the leader of Britain's opposition Liberal Democrats, says enough is enough.
We now have an American president who's outwardly hostile to the UK and Europe in what he says and what he's promising to do. I think we need to call him out. He's wrong on much of his analysis, and he doesn't realise how much the US actually needs European allies and other allies who've traditionally stood shoulder to shoulder with the US. I would like us to be able to be in that position. I'm a friend of the United States of America, but I'm afraid this president is no friend of ours, and I think I've said for a long time he's an unreliable ally. What we've seen today and in the national security strategy they released yesterday is confirmation that we cannot trust him.
But even on Tuesday, European heads of government continued to tread warily for fear of igniting a confrontation with President Trump that by the day appears increasingly inevitable. With FSN Spotlight, I'm Simon Marks.
The main news again. European leaders have pushed back on President Trump's claims they're weak. Hamas says that international mediators must pressure Israel to respect the Gaza ceasefire agreement before the group agrees to move forward into the second phase of a wider peace plan. The French Parliament's passed a crucial vote on its 2026 Social Security budget. And that's the latest feature story news. William Denslow reporting.
More sarcasm than a Mortal Kombat beatdown. Rated R, safety show.
It's always amazing to me on how technology changes, and so does the environment. And cyber criminals will do everything they can to take advantage of a system. If you don't own a home, you have nothing to fear about what I'm about to tell you. But if you own a home like me and you don't guard it with Home Title Lock, you're inviting home title fraud. One of the fastest growing crimes. Cyber thieves around the world know our home values are sky high at the moment, and that makes us a target. The crime is scary simple. Let me explain it to you real quick.
A cyber thief simply forges your name on a property sale form and refiles it. That's it.
Now he or she is on the deed of your home and you have no idea that you're a victim. Then the person takes out a loan on your home and vanishes, leaving you to prove to the police that you didn't commit bank fraud. Home Title Locks puts a virtual barrier around your home title. The instant they detect any kind of tampering or anybody messing around, they help shut it down. Look, if you have equity in your home, you need to guard it the best way that you can. Some people might even go as far as guarding it with their life. Go to HomeTitleLock.com. www.thebaldshed.com and register your address to see if you already are a victim. And enter the code RADIO, that's R-A-D-I-O, that's the code RADIO, for 30 days free of protection. That's code RADIO at HomeTitleLock.com.
What if everything we thought we knew about safety was just interference? From the host of the Rated R Safety Show and the founder of Safety FM comes the complete Signal Transmission Trilogy, now available in one powerful edition. Safety, in my opinion, the book that started the conversation. Safety Mutation, where the boundaries of culture, systems, and belief begin to break. And now, Safety Transmission, the final piece of the Signal. For the first time, all three books are together in one volume. The Signal Transmission Trilogy, complete edition. This isn't just about compliance. It's about consciousness. It's about decoding the way we think, lead, and live, inside and outside the system. Whether you've been following the Signal since the beginning or you're just now tuning in, this is the version to own. Search Signal Trilogy on Amazon or visit safetyfm.com to get your copy now.
Let's start using cutting-edge Warp Speed 5G technology with your cell phone. Let me tell you about my friends at MobileMobile.io. They have an ultra-fast 4G LTE and 5G network that covers 99% of Americans. So they've got you covered everywhere. Think about it for a moment. You have the opportunity to take a test drive for 10 days with unlimited talk, text, and premium data. What is premium data? Premium data is an allotment of a cellular data that you receive from a higher priority on the network. You won't get throttled like you will with some of those, well, non-brand service providers. To find out more information, all you have to do is go to mobilemobile.io. That's mobilemobile.io to start your 10-day free trial.
Safety in a way never heard of before. The Rated R Safety Show on Safety FM.
Oh, yes, the Rated R Safety Show. So there you go. A lot of stuff going on 15 minutes past the top of the hour as you and I are hanging out on this fabulous Whip 'em Out Wednesday. Thanks for the people that are interacting inside of the call-in radio aspect. Always a fun time to see what everybody has going on over there. That is for sure. Okay, so let's get into some new stuff. And I think that it's always interesting as us talking about some of the stuff. But President Trump gives himself an A-plus concerning handling the economy.
You would give
A plus.
A plus.
Yeah, A plus, 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 plus. The word affordability. I inherited a mess. I inherited a total mess. Prices were at an all-time high when I came in. Prices are coming down substantially. The Democrats love to say affordability, but then they never talk about it. They're the ones that gave us the high prices. I'm the one that's bringing them down.
Okay, so there you go. A plus plus plus. Sorry, I had it wrong. I thought it was just an A pluser, but it was an A plus 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 plus. So there you go. In regards of what's going on. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about everything going on inside of the world. Take a listen to this one. Australia just dropped the hammer.
The hammer.
On teen screen time, and it's a big one. Australia's new nationwide ban on social media. Yeah, for anyone 16 just got kicked in. Meaning, you ready for what this means? More than 1 million accounts are being shut down. Lawmakers say that about protecting kids from predator platforms and mental health myths tied to endless scrolling. The pushback critics warn that this isolates teens, especially in remote areas where online connection is half of social life. They say that this could actually be less safe without built-in parental control and platform safety tools. So there you go. Definitely a lot of stuff to talk about as we are hanging out. What do you think about this? Is this something that we should see
worldwide?
Or is it something that we should only see in Australia for the time being? I'm just asking the question because it's always going to become a good time as we are talking about some of this stuff. It's just never ending in regards of the aspects of social media and the impact that it has. I mean, if you go back and take a look at some of the stuff that we worry about that is going to have impact on life, go back and take a look at the patent that was filed for what exactly the purpose of a television is. Yeah, that might get you a little bit interested in some of the stuff that on how you consume media. I'm just saying.
We at Safety FM are not responsible for what this idiot behind the microphone is saying.
He is trying to be entertaining.
Rated R Safety Show.
Okay, so a lot of stuff going on inside of the world as we are talking. Take a listen to this. A federal judge has ordered the release of the investigative files tied to Ghislaine Maxwell in 2021 sex trafficking case, a major step in the government push to make the Epstein record public. Judge Paul A. Endelmayer approved the Justice Department request to unseal grand jury transcripts and exhibits, a reversal from an earlier ruling where he and the judge Richard Berman said that the grand jury secrecy almost never allows disclosure. Congress changed the game in November by passing the Epstein File Transparency Act, which forces the DOJ to release all Epstein-related documentation by December 19. Also, the judge is now the second judge to give the green light, following up on Florida judge who last week approved the release of the transcripts from the now abandoned 2006 federal grand jury probe into Epstein. The DOJ is still awaiting on approval to unseal the remaining files from the Epstein 2019 case, a move that could dump thousands of previously unseen documents into public record. So it will definitely be some interesting times to see exactly what is going to happen right there. No doubt about that. So what do you think when it's all said and done? Because it is going to be some information that, should the public have this or should they not? I'm just asking because this has kind of been the ongoing debate. What is it that we're going to see that there has been, appears to be a level of fear about the release of these things? I don't know. It's going to get interesting. It's what it's sounding like as we are talking. Okay, so take a listen to this because this one is interesting. University must pay
$10
million for forcing people to have a COVID vaccine. The University of Colorado Anschutz Medical Campus has agreed to pay $10.3 million to settle a lawsuit brought by 18 staff and students who said school forced them to take COVID-19 vaccine despite their request for religious exemption. The plaintiffs includes doctors, nurses, students, and researchers argue that the First Amendment's rights were violated. The 10th Circuit Court of Appeals ruled that the Chancellor Donald Elliman and the CU officials acted with religious animus, noting that the university rejected every religious exception request while allowing medical exceptions. The Appalachian Court said the school's process unfairly questioned and investigated people's beliefs and wasn't neutral. Under the settlement, the university must now treat religious accommodation requests as the same as medical ones, allow students to apply for religious exemptions, stop probing or judging the legitimate of people's belief, and the settlement covers damages, tuition losses, and attorney fees. So what do you think? What do you think? A lot of stuff there. That's for sure. I mean, a lot of stuff. So how can you get a medical exception for some, but not a religious exception? Of course, is always going to be the conversation of what's going on there. So I don't know. What do you think about the whole thing? It's going to get interesting more and more because I don't think that this will be the
only
lawsuit that we're going to see about this. And when it's all said and done, just kind of the way that the world goes from time to time. Anyway, take a listen to this. J.D. Vance pushed back with sarcasm after a Facebook post claimed that he was seen loudly arguing with his wife at a restaurant.
Duh.
The photo being shared shows Vance looking animated while his wife looks down, leading the poster to suggest that the marriage was in trouble, even questioning why Vance was screaming While Vance was screaming and wearing a t-shirt, Vance shot back on X, joking that, of course, that he was always goes out in public wearing the undershirt specifically to fight loudly with his wife, making it clear that he thinks that the whole thing is nonsense. The rumor mill has already been revved up with his wife recently being photographed without her wedding ring, which added fuel to the speculation. The talk started months ago after Vance hugged Charlie Kirk's wife tightly at a memorial service, and after publicly mentioned urging Usha to convert from Hinduism to capitalism. So that goes from, I mean, that will take a little bit far in regards to what's going on there. Also, Vance addressed the gossip in an interview saying that him and his wife find the chatter funny, though the spotlight can be tough. He said that their marriage is strong and that his wife simply forgets her ring sometimes because she's busy with daily life. I mean, I guess that's one way to put it. She's busy with daily life, so she forgot her ring. What do you think? Is it realistic, reasonable, understandable, or something else entirely?
Listen to our host
of the Rated R Safety Show.
Self-implode on our airwaves, only on Safety FM.
Okay, so take a listen to this. If you are a radio aficionado, take a listen to this. KISS co-founder Gene Simmons went to Washington and lit up Senator Judiciary Committee hearing back in the American Music Fairness Act, a bill that would require AM/FM radio stations to finally pay performers royalty when their songs are played. Simmons argued that the legendary artists like Elvis Presley, Frank Sinatra, and Bing Crosby were treated worse than slaves by traditional broadcasters because they were never paid for their on-air performances, even while radio made billions with a B. He framed the matter as a basic respect to the creator of America's sends out into the world. Michael Hulpe, CEO of a sound exchange, also supported the bill, pointing out that the radio companies made $250 billion over 16 years while performers earned zero. Yes, that is zero from AM/FM airplay. He stressed that the U.S. is the only country where artists aren't paid for radio performance. Even Russia and China pay. Hope he also noted that radio no longer drives music discovery since people now find new songs on platforms like TikTok and YouTube. And because the U.S. doesn't require performance royalties, foreign countries refuse to pay American artists when the U.S. music airs abroad. On the other side, Henry Hinton, a North Carolina broadcaster, warned that the bill would hammer local radio stations. I mean, I don't know. How do you look at this thing? I mean, I would imagine that there's some kind of license sequence that can be done that should bring out a level of fairness. Because listen, the funny part is that right now for a radio station to be able to play a song, you have to play a music licensing to be able to play it. That's kind of the funny part. Even if you signed up for SiriusXM at some point, there was a music licensing royalty fee that they would not tell you about until you were actually going through the whole process and be like, what? What is this bullshit? But that's kind of part of what the gig was. So I don't know. How are you looking at this? Does this make sense? Or do you go, who cares? I'm using Spotify, YouTube Music, Apple Music, whatever, Pandora, Tidal, whatever, insert music streaming platform here, so none of this shit matters to me. I don't know, because listen, there's new music discoveries on these newer platforms. It just depends on how you want to go about doing it is really what it boils down to. So there you go, a lot of stuff, so some stuff to think about. Anyways, take a listen to this one. In prison, former Colorado clerk Tina Peters was pardoned from Trump. Former Mesa County, Colorado clerk Tina Peters, now serving 9 years prison sentence, is seeking a pardon from president after the federal judge denied her a bid to release through habeas corpus request. Peters' attorney, Peter Chicton, wrote that the president claiming Peters has been threatened and attacked multiple times by inmates and repeatedly denied transfer to a safer unit. He argues that her conviction was travesty and maintained that Peters is the key witness of alleged misconduct involving Colorado 2020 election data. Claims that the courts and state officials have long rejected. Peters have been convicted in 2024 on charges including attempting to influence a public official, conspiracy to commit, impersonation, misconduct, violating state election security rules after she made the unauthorized copy of Dominion voting system data. On Monday, Chief Magistrate Judge Scott Vodholak ruled that she did not meet the criteria for federal investigation in her case and dismissed her habeas petition. So there you go. There you go. What do you think? A lot of stuff. A lot of stuff for sure. A lot of stuff. So should she get a pardon, not get a pardon? Should she stay? I mean, this, keep in mind of this. If you have a friend in high places, a confidant, someone you know, you're probably going to reach out and be like, hey,
can you help me here?
Can you help me here? Can you help me here?
Can you help me here?
You got the point. You're going to probably be requesting some help if it's all possible. I understand that. It makes sense to me. But, man, it's going to get some weird times, that is for sure. Anyways, take a listen to this. Carrie Elizabeth Romney is the sister-in-law of former U.S. Senator Mitt Romney, died from blunt trauma injuries after falling from the roof of a five-story parking garage in Valencia, California, on October the 10th. The Los Angeles County Medical Examiner has ruled her death a suicide. She was 64. Deputies responded around 8:30 p.m. and found her body at the scene. Mitt Romney released a statement shortly afterwards saying that the family was heartbroken and asked for privacy. Court records show that Carrie and Mitt, older brothers George Scott Romney, were in the middle of a divorce proceeding at the time. Scott had filed in June, citing irreconcilable differences and requesting no spousal support for either party. Carrie had indicated that she planned to stop using the Romney surname once the divorce was finalized, which had not yet happened before her death. So there you go. Sad news to hear, that is for sure, as we are talking about some of the stuff that is going on inside of the multiverse, because that is kind of what we do around here. So let's go ahead and get into this real quick, and let's talk about the Dow and some numbers, because this is kind of what we do. The Dow fell 179 points to close at 47,560 on Tuesday. The S&P ticked down about 6 points to close at 6,840, and the NASDAQ gained about 30 points to close at 23,576. West Texas Intermediate closed at $58 a barrel, and Brent crude was at $62 a barrel. The national average price of a gallon of gas was $2.94 on Tuesday, and Bitcoin gained up on Tuesday just about 2.2%, trading at $92,700. And tonight's Powerball drawing will be for $930 million jackpot, or a $429 million cash payout. So there you go. If you want to play the game, I guess you have definitely the opportunity to do so if you're so insistent on doing that. No doubt about that. So there you go. Some stuff to talk about as we are always going through the plethora of information of stuff that we have, no doubt, here. So what are you thinking about everything going on with some of this stuff? I don't know. It always becomes interesting to me on my end. So I appreciate the people that are going through, callinradio.com, because they're giving their opinion of what the hell they think is going on. That is for sure. Always an interesting time, because I never know what to do around this time of year, because you kind of hear some of these weird things that happen. I don't know if they're good things or bad things or things to discuss whatsoever. So there you go. Some stuff for sure as we are going through. So, so take a listen to this. So I needed advice before Christmas blow. So this is kind of some people reaching out. So let me explain what exactly I'm about to ask you. It says, morning crew. So I need some advice before Christmas blows up in my face. My husband is the hardest human on earth to shop for. He hates clothes, gadgets, tools, socks, and gift cards, surprises, and apparently joy itself. Every year I try something new, and every year he says, you shouldn't have, which absolutely means, why did you? This year I'm considering wrapping nothing and telling him it's minimalism. Help, what does a woman buy, Captain? No thanks. Sherry. So, callinradio.com. Give me your information. Tell me what you think in regards of what you would do if you were on the other side of the equation of the person that says no thank you for every single item that you get. I mean, I'm just saying. So take a listen to this before we get into our main story. PepsiCo is getting ready to bulldoze nearly 20% of the entire product line. I'm pulling hundreds of drinks and snacks off of their shelves by early next year. This means that fan favorite flavors, limited editions, and long running staples may disappear without saying even goodbye or even giving a hug. Why the purge? A powerful hedge fund, Elliott Investments Management, bought $4 billion stake, basically told Pepsi, clean up your room or else. With shoppers tightening their wallets, dishing brand name snacks, and cheaper, getting cheaper options, Pepsi profits have taken a hit. Sales are down, layoffs have hit multiple plants, and Pepsi, once Coke's biggest threat, has tumbled to number four in the U.S. soda, now trailing Dr. Pepper and Sprite. As part of the overhaul, Pepsi plans to drop underperforming item, lower some prices, launching similar ingredient products, Hello Doritos Protein, and push harder for unadvertising. Which products are getting axed? Pepsi is not saying yet, but your favorite snacks might be on the chopping block. So some stuff to think about. So they're cutting products nobody buys. So basically goodbye to everything except Cool Ranch Doritos, because that definitely seems like the thing that would not get ditched. That's the way that I'm looking at it. What do you think about this whole mess? Is there a Pepsi product that you find favorite that you're like, don't ditch that thing on me? Because that is one of those things I don't want to see go bye-bye. Anyways, 32 minutes past the top of the hour. Let's get into our main news story right now.
Here is our main story on the Rated R Safety Show.
Okay, main story time, as we are hanging out doing our thing, because that is kind of what we do. If we weren't doing our thing, we would be doing somebody else's thing, which would make us not our thing. So it becomes extremely confusing on how exactly stuff should be done. But we'll leave it for that. So as we are talking about the main story, I want to talk about this real quick because I think it's interesting. I think it's interesting on how things occur and how sometimes things can get blown out of proportion, because that's kind of what happens from time to time. So you are aware that there are times inside of your lifetime that you want to do stuff inside of your work organization, meaning anything from, hey, we need to change something here and change it and make it better and so on. Kind of happens. That is kind of part of the reason why sometimes we're hired to do some of the work that we do. That's kind of how it works. But there are some times that we kind of go above the call of duty on things that need to be done. Or we're trying to get something approved and it's not working and it has not been approved yet. And we continue to push and we continue to say, hey, this needs to be done. And then we get to the point where we're like, well, damn it, man. The thing is not moving the way that I want. So you know what exactly I'm going to do here? You go, I'm going to take matters into my own hands and I am going to go in here and I am going to turn around and I am going to take some information here that I know and put this into work the way that I want it to, not in the future, not in the years to come, but right now. Right now I'm going to do this, and there's no way that anyone can stop me. Yeah, these things happen. And I'm going to give you a news story that I was able to get a hold of, I think it was yesterday. Yeah, I saw it yesterday in regards to the news story itself. And this is happening out of L.A. So if you give me a moment, I would love to share this with you for you to take a listen to what the hell is going on. And then you give me your perspective.
A safety advocate ended up in cuffs today, arrested for painting a crosswalk in West L.A. Police cited him for vandalizing property and stopped his group from finishing that crosswalk. NBC4's Tracy Leong is at the intersection in Sawtelle, where she spoke with him about what he's hoping to accomplish. Tracy.
Yeah, Carolyn, and you can see that work that led to his arrest. That's where we're standing right now. Jonathan Hale was cited in the middle of this intersection. He tells us this is the 14th unpermitted crosswalk he's painted, and it's his way of protesting for safer streets.
Can we wait till the paint dries and then pack everything up?
Cell phone video shared with NBC4 shows traffic safety advocate Jonathan Hale getting handcuffed in the middle of the intersection at Wilkins and Kelton in Sawtelle Sunday afternoon, where he was in the process of painting an unpermitted crosswalk with his group People's Vision Zero.
People need to realize that lives are at stake, that the people of L.A. want livable, walkable streets.
Hale says his mission grew out of frustration after he waited for the city of Los Angeles to improve the dangerous intersections with painted crosswalks. When they failed to do so, Hale took action.
This is a public health crisis, and it's also a social crisis. More children are killed by cars in Los Angeles than any other cause of death. people don't feel safe going outside, and it's destroying our communities.
The mayor's office tells NBC4 they've reached out to Hale to work together on making the streets safer, saying in part, the mayor's office, Council District 10, and LADOT have met with Jonathan Hale to discuss his concerns, share the process for permitting, and offer to collaborate to develop solutions to expedite the installation of crosswalks that meet legal and accessibility requirements. Despite communication about city, state, and federal laws and parameters, Jonathan has chosen to continue to pursue his own course of action. This is the 14th unpermitted crosswalk Hale has painted in L.A., but he's never been arrested until now. The LAPD cited Hale with a misdemeanor for vandalizing property and forced his group to leave halfway through their project.
We're not changing anything about the legal rights of pedestrians or drivers. We're marking crosswalks where they already exist.
Under California law, the area where the sidewalks extend across the street of an intersection are considered crosswalks, even if they're unmarked. While Hale understands there are permitting rules, his goal is to add visible reminders for drivers to create an extra layer of protection for pedestrians.
Especially for my neighbors with visual impairments, anything that makes the street seem like less of a void, alerts drivers to the fact that there are people crossing, makes it just a little bit safer.
Hale tells me he plans to continue meeting with the mayor's office. He hopes to create a policy that makes it easier to get permits to paint crosswalks in the street. Reporting live in Sawtelle, Tracy Leong, NBC4 News.
Okay, so that's from NBC4 News in regards of what's going on. So was the guy in the right for taking matters on his own hands because things were taking way too long in regards of what the government was trying to do? It was a safety-related issue from his perspective, things that he went out and did the marking himself without getting getting approval from the city on regards on how it's supposed to be done. But what do you think here? Is it the right way of doing it? Is it the wrong way of doing it? If this was happening inside of your workplace, how exactly would something like this be handled? That would be the question.
Duh.
That's always going to be something that's going to come up. So was it popularity? Was he doing it out of actual worry and cause, or what exactly was going on? I don't know how one would look at it. Did he do the right thing? What did he do? Did he do the wrong thing? I'm looking at it and going, I think he's trying to help make the world better, but that's an opinion from this guy.
Oops. What did he just say?
We at Safety FM don't always agree with the viewpoints of our hosts and guests.
Now back to real safety talk on Safety FM.
Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to the home of real safety talk.
You're listening to Safety FM. We'll be right back.
You've seen the loop. You've felt the shift. The script doesn't fit anymore. And neither do you. Safety transmission. The collapse of the construct is the third and final signal in the trilogy from J. Allen, PhD. And this time, it's not about waking up. It's about what you do once you're awake. The system didn't break. It just stopped pretending to hold you. And now it's blinking, rebranding presence, packaging resistance, and calling it progress. This book isn't a guide. It's a transmission. It doesn't teach the system how to evolve. It shows you how to stop performing for it. You'll see what happens when awareness becomes responsibility, when audits don't listen, and when leadership becomes a loop. But if you've made it this far, you're not here to be managed. You're here to carry signal. Safety transmission. The collapse of the construct. Now available in print, Kindle, and audiobook. Narrated by J. Allen, PhD. Because if it couldn't hold your signal, it was never real to begin with.
Well, you might be like me and heard all these terms and were not 100% sure on what they meant. Things is mining, blockchain, the Internet of Things. Well, I will tell you, we here at Safety FM have partnered up with a company that will explain this to you and will also have conversations to inform you on how you might have the potential of making passive income by being involved with this. All you need to do is go to safetyfm.com/iHub. They'll discuss blockchain. What exactly is mining? What is cryptocurrency? What is the Internet of Things? To find out more information, go to safetyfm.com/iHub. That's safetyfm.com/iHub And don't forget to mention that Jay Allen sent you.
Safety training, old, stale, and hacked.
Is your safety trainer still preaching a warped version of behavior-based safety?
How about safety training that actually addresses your hazards in your workplaces and is not standardized baloney from 25 years ago? Contact the Safety Wars team at safetywars.com or call Jim Pozel at 845-269-5772. Remember, if you're receiving this message, you are the solution to unsafe workplaces.
This portion of the show has been sponsored by Private Internet Access, America's number one virtual private network, or VPN. Even if you use incognito mode, internet service providers is storing your browser data and many times even selling it. But Private Internet Access, or PIA, can help you. PIA encrypts and reroutes your internet traffic through one of its own servers, hiding your data from your internet service provider or network admin. And with servers in over 75 countries, you can get unrestricted access to geo-blocked content from around the world. PIA comes with easy-to-use apps and browsers, extension for all devices, a rock-solid privacy policy, open-source security, advanced customization settings, and it was just ranked the fastest VPN in the world by PC Magazine. And if you sign up right now with PIA, you can take advantage of a special deal only for Safety FM listeners. Only by using the following link, you can get the digital privacy for less than $2 a month. Yes, you did hear me correctly. Less than $2 a month and an extra 4 months for free. So that means for only $1.98 a month and 83% off, you can get this service for you right now. That's so much more inexpensive than virtually every other VPN on the market. And if you get it right now, you can take PIA's 30-day risk-free challenge. You can try it out for 30 days, see if you like it, and if not, just return it for a full refund. So just go to safetyfm.com/VPN. That's safetyfm.com/VPN to try out the best VPN on the planet completely risk-free. Now remember, safetyfm.com/VPN.
Radio Big. USA, Canada, UK.
The universe is way too big to have one God who made it. And even if you did, would you really want to meet him? Would you trust a God who's smart enough to build the planet? Cause I'm smart enough to know there's a snake.
Yeah, we thought we were escaping a fake world here on the Rated R Safety Show. 45 minutes past the top of the hour as you and I are hanging out on this lovely Whip-A-Mout Wednesday. Yeah, this right here, a simulated world. Yep, that's what I call it. Because I titled the damn thing. It's a fake world. Take a listen to this part right here.
In another dream. When you finally wake up, you're just in another dream. When you finally wake up.
Yeah, that's how the song goes. I like it. That's how I made it. So that's why I like it. It's a fake world. Just listen to the electronic portion here. I keep on telling some of my close colleagues, I think we could release that song. I think it's good to go. Yeah, a little fake world stuff. So a lot of stuff going on inside of the world of the multiverse as you are hanging out on this lovely Wednesday, getting to do the things that you do, and I'm definitely getting to hang out, so I always appreciate the time together. Without that, I'm not sure exactly what I would be doing. But let me tell you about the most important thing that I will ever tell you in my lifetime, and that's about my friends at To Write Love on Our Arms. No matter what you're facing, you deserve to be connected to help, and we want you to know that people have been where you are now, and things can get better. Healing is possible. To find out more information, all you have to do is go to TWL. TWLOHA.com. That's TWLOHA.com, and click on the section that says find help. Once you get there, you're going to find out information related to addiction, depression, anxiety, eating disorders, self-injury, suicide, trauma, and grief support, just to name a few. Excuse me. TWLOHA.com to find out more information. Believe me, once you get there, that website could change your life. And I don't say that jokingly. I say that very seriously as the information comes about. So there you go. TWLOHA.com. Let's talk about some other things. Getting less than 7 hours of sleep is linked to shorter life expectancy across America. A sweeping U.S. study covering every country from 2019 to 2025. Well, county should probably be it, not country. Regular sleeping few hours than seven a night is strongly linked to shorter life. No matter where you live, how much money you make, or what type of health care you have, researchers reviewed the data of over 3,000 counties and found that the same pattern again and again. The more residents in the county who report under 7 hours sleep, the lower that county's life expectancy is. They held a study across rich suburbs, rural towns, big cities, everywhere, even accounting for smoking, obesity, inactivity. Sleep remained one of the most powerful predictors of lifespan, second only to smoking, is the early stages of analysis. So there you go. That is a study that was taking place here in the U.S. So what do you think when it's all said and done? Take a listen to this one, because here's another one that people always ask this question. A massive study of 38 million Americans' obituaries found that when the whole life gets squeezed into roughly 175 words, people overwhelmingly highlight two things: tradition, mostly religious faith, and benevolence, caring for others. Those themes appear 80% and 76% of obituaries, far tracking achievement, pleasure, and power. Research used by psychology frameworks of 10 universal values to analyze decades of orbits. After traditional and benevolence, the next most common themes were, universalism, self-direction, and Hinduism. Power barely registers. Major cities shifted how America memorializes their dead. After 9/11, people wrote more about traditions, kindness, especially in New York. In 2008, financial crisis, achievement language tanked, and pleasure-focused language dipped but rebounded later. During COVID, the biggest shock arrived, but Evelyn's language collapsed and still hasn't recovered 4 years later. Traditional language dipped at first and then surged, moving to generic blessing to a specific religious terms like Jesus, Allah, and Islam. Gender patterns don't lie with us. Men are remembered more for achievement, power, civic service. Women are more for caring and enjoyment. Men's obituaries change dramatically with age. Women stay consistently throughout life. Age matters too. Older people get more traditional and conformity language. Younger folks get more autonomy. Beyond the values of obituaries, commonly mentioned education, military, and education and family. So there you go. A lot of stuff to think about as we are going through it. Anyways, let's do something a little bit more positive, and let's bring some John Smalls into our life and let him tell us about what the hell is going on with the Motivation Minute. No, seriously.
The Motivation Minute, courtesy of GenesisGoldIRA.com and JaceCaseMedical.com.
The Motivation Minute.
Today's quote was submitted by Sandra. Peter Drucker said, "Entrepreneurship is neither a science nor an art. It is a practice." I can agree with that one. I wish it was more of a science. Then A plus B would always equal C. But that's not how it works. I've witnessed this firsthand. Two clients who were doing the exact same thing, but they were getting completely different results. I'd try to dig in to see what the factors were that needed to change. Was it something that we were doing differently for this one? No, it seemed like, if anything, that client should be getting better results. We were trying so hard to help. When that little experiment was over, I was sad and kind of confused.
The Motivation Minute.
The Motivation Minute, courtesy of GenesisGoldIRA.com and JaceCaseMedical.com. I'm John Small. Thanks for listening. Your favorite motivational quotes can be submitted for upcoming programs at motivationminute.org.
Here is the news on the Rating R Safety Show.
Police and soldiers are out in force across Tanzania as the government moves to shut down planned Independence Day protests.
Security forces have flooded key streets in Dar es Salaam and other cities, blocking gatherings that activists hoped would spotlight alleged abuses. Authorities have warned people to stay home and say the demonstrations are illegal. Rights groups argue the heavy response shows growing intolerance for dissent and are closely watching for arrests or clashes. Benjamin Wright reporting.
Fighting along the Thailand-Cambodia border has flared again, driving families from their homes and rattling nearby towns.
Officials in both countries say renewed shelling and gunfire have killed several civilians and pushed tens of thousands of people to flee the frontier region. The two governments blame each other for breaking a shaky ceasefire in the long-running territorial dispute. Joseph Ickerson reporting.
Sudan's air force is under sharp scrutiny after a new report detailed deadly bombing raids on towns, markets, and schools.
Investigators say the government's aerial campaign has killed hundreds of civilians and left many communities terrified and repeatedly on the move. The study describes strikes hitting crowded public areas and essential services, worsening an already severe humanitarian crisis. Chris Anderson reporting.
This is the latest news headlines.
President Donald Trump is set to take his economic message on the road with a campaign-style stop in eastern Pennsylvania.
The White House says the president will highlight efforts to ease the cost of living as voters voice anger over high prices. Advisors view the swing district visit as a test of whether his affordability pitch resonates beyond his core supporters. Local officials and business owners are watching closely, hoping to hear specific plans on wages, housing, and everyday bills. Lawrence Keller reporting.
The Federal Reserve is preparing for a closely watched meeting that could bring another cut to a key interest rate.
Officials are weighing signs of easing inflation against worries that more reductions could fuel financial risks or renewed price spikes. Chair Jerome Powell faces unusually sharp divisions inside the central bank as he works to line up enough support for a move. Investors, borrowers, and the White House are all bracing for the Fed's signal on how much further it expects to go. Kevin Sanders reporting.
The Supreme Court is hearing a Republican challenge that aims to lift limits on how much parties can spend with their candidates.
At issue is a long-standing campaign finance that caps coordinated party spending in federal races, separate from direct donations. Party lawyers argue the restriction violates free speech and makes it harder to compete in expensive contests. Supporters of the law warn that scrapping the limit would let wealthy donors sidestep contribution caps by routing huge sums through party committees. Kyle Norris reporting.
And that's the latest news headlines with Alan Edwards.
What do guys like besides pizza and morning sex?
Jay Allen in the morning.
It's so bizarre and unnatural.
It's all good.
On Radio Big.
Okay, so let's start talking right away about some things that happened back in this day. So let's take a look around. Let's see. Back in, Let's go to 2005. Remember a great comedian by the name of Richard Pryor? He passed away on this day. Yeah. Not a joke. Richard Pryor died back in 2005. Yeah. A terrible time. Back also in 1927, Grand Ole Opry makes its first radio broadcast in Nashville, Tennessee. Also, A's sell Jimmy Fox to the Red Sox. Yes, I did say sell. For $150,000. That happened back in 1935. And in 1963, 6-year-old Donny Osmond signs a debut. Her singing debut with the Andy Williams Show. That happened back on this day. Back in, let's see, that one was 1963. So there you go. Okay, let's talk about some celebrity birthdays going on today. Susan Day turned 73. Nia Peoples turned 64. Bobby Flay turned 61. Meg White, 51. Raven Simone turned 40 today. So there you go. That's some birthdays for you. Things you ought to know. So just in case, tonight's Powerball jackpot will be $930 million. Here's last night's winning Mega Million number. Was, let's see, was a $60 million jackpot, just in case. 19, 32, 41, 49, 66, and the number 6. Times person of the year will be revealed on NBC's tomorrow morning. So there you go. Also, Jamindi's. Yeah, one of the year's most popular meteor showers are hitting the peak of this weekend. They'll stay visible through mid-December, but Saturday night and the early Sunday, this is the main event. Under dark skies, viewers of the northern hemispheres could catch as many as 120 yellow tingled meteor per hour. They're visible worldwide, but the north gets the best. NASA and the American Meteor Society says that this will be the one sky watchers don't want to miss. So there you go. Also, in some other news, Ukraine has reportedly struck several oil tankers off the coast of Turkey and West Africa in the campaign against Russia's so-called shadow, months after the president, Volodymyr Zelensky, called Kiev partners or to strengthen their response to the vessels that Moscow uses to evade international sanctions and continue selling its natural resources. So there you go. Also, in some other news, one student is dead and another remains in critical condition after shooting at Kentucky State University in Frankfort yesterday, just days before going on winter break. The 48-year-old suspect, who is from Indiana and is not a student, has been booked into the Franklin County Regional Jail on charges of murder and assault, first degree, police and university officials said. So there you go. A lot of stuff going on today as we are talking. If I can't leave you with some words of wisdom for today, discipline beats motivation every single day. Keep that in mind as we are talking. Anyway, thank you for always being the best part of Safety FM and Radio Big, and that is the listener, because without you, it makes no sense to do what we do around here. If you want to, at the top of the hour, I will be going over to Radio Big if you want to come and hang out with me for the next couple hours or so. If not, you can stay right here with Sheldon Primus on Safety FM. If I can't leave you with some advice for today, here you go. Use vivid imagery. Turn boring facts into wild, extraordinary visuals, and the brain loves the drama. So there you go. Anyways, I know who you are. You know who I am. Love you, mean it, and goodbye.
The views and opinions expressed during this broadcast, podcast, or radio show are solely those of the host and guests and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of Safety FM and or Radio Big. The content discussed, including examples of analysis, is provided for illustrative purposes only. It should not be applied as the sole solution in real-world scenarios, as it is based on limited and dated open source information. Any assumptions made during this broadcast, podcast, or radio show are not reflective of Safety FM and or Radio Big. No portion of this broadcast, podcast, or radio show may be reproduced, stored in a retrieval system, or transmitted in any form or by any means, electronic, mechanical, recording, or otherwise, without prior written permission of Safety FM and or Radio Big. For permission requests, please contact Safety FM or Radio Big directly.
When you finally wake up, it's not as bad as it.
This isn't a safety manual. It's a transmission. Jay Allen, PhD, host of the Rated R Safety Show and founder of Safety FM, has spent years pulling back the curtain on the systems we work in and the ones we don't talk about. What started as a fatal crash on the 405 became a search for truth. Through behavior-based safety, human and organizational performance, simulation theory, and everything in between. Safety, in my opinion, is raw, reflective, and real. From burnout to breakthroughs, from the matrix to the moment someone says, "This doesn't feel right." This book doesn't give you answers. It hands you the signal. Safety, in my opinion. Available now, wherever books and audiobooks are found. You've seen the loop. You've felt the shift. The script doesn't fit anymore, and neither do you. Safety transmission. The collapse of the construct is the third and final signal in the trilogy from J. Allen. PhD. And this time, it's not about waking up. It's about what you do once you're awake. The system didn't break. It just stopped pretending to hold you. And now it's blinking, rebranding presence, packaging resistance, and calling it progress. This book isn't a guide. It's a transmission. It doesn't teach the system how to evolve. It shows you how to stop performing for it. You'll see what happens when awareness becomes responsibility, when audits don't listen, and when leadership becomes a loop. But if you've made it this far, you're not here to be managed. You're here to carry signal, safety transmission, the collapse of the construct. Now available in print, Kindle, and audiobook. Narrated by Jay Allen, PhD. Because if it couldn't hold your signal, it was never real to begin with.